Hey, you want that to go?
And now some quick takeouts on stories we're following this week. Let's go to Capitol Hill first. Todd Zwillick is Takeaway's Washington correspondent. So, Todd, it took them 10 years, and the only way they were able to get this hate crimes legislation passed was by tucking it into the defense spending bill, right?
Almost right. They actually have been trying to get this hate crimes legislation onto the defense bill for a long time. It's not the first time they tried it. Not to get too far down into the details, not really a defense spending bill, but more of a military policy bill that guides spending. I know it's a subtle difference, but there's no actual money in this bill. But anyway, yeah, this is what's known around Capitol Hill, Celeste, as must-pass legislation, right? You got to set policy for Afghanistan and Iraq. You got to set policy for the weapon systems and the pay increase for the troops, by the way. This bill does have a pay increase for the troops, so how many people are going to vote against it, right? So that's why you stick controversial legislation on there. And this in part is where the opposition to this came from. Almost all the votes in the Senate yesterday, all but one, were from Republicans.
The no votes
against this bill. And, you know, a lot of Republicans voting against a defense bill. And over in the House, you had the same thing. You had the minority leader, the Republican leader, John Boehner, yesterday saying that the process just was offensive to him and his members.
But, you know, interestingly, the Democrat that voted against it not because of the hate crimes legislation, but the defense part.
Yeah, that's right. That's Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, and he has issues over broader Afghanistan policy. He said he is a supporter of broader protection for gays and lesbians and transgender people. Let me just add quickly, it's actually very interesting that they finally did get hate crimes protection for gays and lesbians. We already have it based on race and on gender and age and a couple of other factors. And this basically says the Justice Department, the federal government, can come in and investigate crimes if the motivation for that crime is one of these factors, race, gender, now sexual orientation. On the Republican side, the opposition to this, you know, some people don't like social policy being made on a defense bill. Some people have a problem with what they see as the gay agenda or the homosexual agenda. And other people had opposed this just because, you know, murder, for instance, is already illegal. We shouldn't be punishing what you were thinking when you did it. So that was some of the opposition. But the point is it passed. There was a little bit of irony in this. That it was on a defense bill, this is the first major victory the Obama administration is going to be able to give the gay and lesbian rights community, who, as we all know, has been extremely frustrated with this administration because things like don't ask, don't tell, the gay and lesbian policy of the military is still in place despite the president's pledges to change it. It has not been changed. So this is finally a victory for the gay and lesbian community there. Senator Carl Levin, who's the chairman of Armed Services, told me yesterday, we're getting to it. We're going to hold hearings on Don't Ask, Don't Tell in November.
Okay,
so,
great.
So one victory for them, but not the big one that they really wanted.
Todd Zwillick is a Takeaway's Washington correspondent. So now on to sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So, you know, actually, Ibrahim, John and I called it yesterday. We both said that we thought the Angels were going to be hungry enough for this win to pull it out, and that's exactly what happened. It was a squeaker, but they made it.
Come on, Soch, let me keep him in. This was John Lackey in the 7-6 win that the Angels had. Lackey, who's the pitcher, he was pitching in an unbelievable game, and it's the seventh inning. He had a four-run lead that the Yankees just, A.J. Burnett, the starter for the Yankees, just totally just gave them, essentially, in the first inning. But you got to give it to the Angels. They came out aggressive. So it's the seventh inning. Lackey's on the mound, and he gets three guys on base. So those are his earned runs. And then here comes Mike Socha, the manager for the Angels, and he's like, all right, we're going to bring you out. And he's like, what? What? And he's like, come on, let me get him. He doesn't let him get him. And what happens when they bring in Darren Oliver, crank, the Yankees hitters erupt for six runs. They touch him up for six runs in that inning. They take a 6-4 lead going into the bottom of the seventh, and all of a sudden, this is when you see what a team is made of. And that's what happened next. The Angels came roaring back. They scored three runs in that inning. And then they basically took the lead.
Right. And it was a well-played game. We didn't see quite as many errors as we have seen in earlier games from these two teams.
They were playing great baseball. In that inning alone, there were seven runs, seven hits, and two lead changes.
Okay.
And it ended with a strikeout of Derek Jeter. So
we'll see if the Yankees can bring it home tomorrow in Game 6. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. So the last takeout today comes from you, our listeners. A lot of you had a lot to say yesterday because we asked you, should the government be allowed to limit executive pay? Marion emailed mytakeofthetakeaway.org. While I believe in some form of regulation, I don't believe there's a group of people in the financial markets who are competent enough to manage these billion-dollar entities and do so on a pro bono basis. John Scott emails us too. I'm honest and hardworking, he says, and I don't work on Wall Street, but I lost my job because of the crash. It wasn't my fault, but I'm suffering mistakes I didn't make. I'd be happy to make my former salary of $67,000. I'd even be ecstatic if they punished me by paying me only $200,000 this year, too. And Patty emails us, what I fail to understand is why the American public would criticize a person making millions who runs a company of thousands, yet has none of the same objections to a baseball or basketball player making the same amount of money.
Yes, absolutely, the government has a right. I mean, after all, we gave them the money. It's our money. Why don't these people take a salary like the rest of the world?
Why shouldn't we be able to regulate it? In effect, we are the majority stockholder, and it's kind of like we went to the meeting and said, you guys screwed up, and you shouldn't make as much money.
These are men making this kind of money. My sister is a banker, and she is not making millions of dollars. This is not only about huge amounts of money, it's about huge amounts of money for men.
Well, speaking of men versus women, we talked yesterday about whether there's a real difference between raising a boy and raising a girl.
This is Taya Jones. I'm calling from Lubbock, Texas. I was raised on a commercial fishing boat in Southeast Alaska. I think that my mom would have raised me the same way had I been a boy or a girl. But I definitely played with Barbies while at the same time cleaning fish and helping her on the boat.
My name's Sean. I'm calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And one of the things that has been hardest for me for raising two children is teaching my daughter how to use the toilet and not try to stand up like her brother.
Got a lot of great stories like that one. Aida writes on the website, thetakeaway.org, I'm the youngest of three daughters, and I was always so thankful that I didn't have any brothers. Growing up in Mexico, I always saw my friends were treated differently than their brothers. I hated that they couldn't get home as late as their little brothers or that they had to help their brother make their bed. And lastly, we talked yesterday about Microsoft's new challenge to Apple with the new Windows 7. Nick from Detroit emails, in all this talk, we left out an up-and-comer, Linux. It's extremely stable and secure, and you can't beat the price. That would be free. Let us know what you think at 877-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.